The year was 1872. Ulysses S. Grant was president. Yellowstone became our first national park that year, and a massive earthquake rocked the Northwest. The 1872 quake is on record as one of the most widely felt tremors in the Pacific Northwest history. But the location of the fault line that caused that quake has been a mystery for more than a century. Now researchers with the U.S. Geological Survey think they've found the fault. Brian Sherrod is a paleoseismologist for the USGS, kind of like a detective for rocks. Sherrod says one new technology that was particularly helpful to his team, light and distance ranging, or LIDAR technology.
It's an airborne mapping technique where you use a laser mounted in an airplane, pointed at the ground, and you fly back and forth, and you basically paint the landscape with laser dots. You collect data, the length of travel time, which you can calculate the elevation if you know where the attitude of the plane is.
So you send someone up and you say, collect this data. What specifically are you looking for that would tell you something is a fault line?
So what we look for is we get the data back and we strip off all the vegetation and we generate what's called a bald earth model, where we're looking at just the ground surface. And what we're looking for, and I'm going to use my hands here, is we're looking for a place where a fault has actually broken the ground surface and has offset the ground surface in a vertical fashion. And when that happens, it's called an escarpment. We call it a scarp for short. Mm-hmm. And it's just a long linear feature on the landscape where the ground surface has been offset by a fault.
Where did you locate this particular fault?
Well, this one is located in a place called Spencer Canyon. It's just south of Entiat, Washington, and it's on the west side of the Columbia River.
And how did you know that that fault caused the 1872 earthquake?
Well, that's kind of where we're at right now. So we've done some preliminary work where we've identified the scarp using the LIDAR data, and there's some landslides that came down during this earthquake as well in Spencer Canyon. And those landslides cut the scarp, take it out, destroy it on the landslide. So we know the landslide came after the scarp was formed. And we've dated, using tree ring records, the age of those landslides. And at most, they're 130 years old or slightly older. So we know that's kind of the minimum age. And we've just trenched this fault.
That means you've dug
in. We dug trenches using shovels, hand dug these trenches. And we actually exposed the fault in the subsurface, just below the ground surface. You can actually put your finger on it.
So, Brian Sherrod, you're sort of like the Nancy Drew of geologists here, right? It's like a mystery.
It is, totally. Yeah, they're a lot like puzzles.
I'm talking to Brian Sherrod. He's a research geologist. He works with the U.S. Geological Survey, and he lectures at the University of Washington. And we're talking about a fault line that, through LIDAR technology, he and his team uncovered near Eniat, near the Columbia River, east of the Cascade Mountains. And I'm curious, it's a great mystery, but why is it important in 2014 to know where a fault line was that caused a 140-year-old earthquake?
Well, one of the ideas we work from is that when you find a fault that has ruptured in the recent past, we call that the last 10,000 years or so, the Holocene.
The recent past.
For us, that's recent. We call it the Holocene. And if you find a fault that has ruptured in the Holocene, there's a good chance, given enough strain accumulation in the crust, that that same fault is going to break again. And so that's what we do, is we go around and we try to find these places where these earthquakes have occurred and have broken the ground surface on these faults and dig trenches across them and try to figure out how often they break and how big the earthquakes are. And so the reason it's important over there, to circle back, the reason it's important over there is that, and anywhere actually, where we find these things, is that people live on the ground surface. We build things. Mm-hmm. And earthquakes tend to damage those things. And so we want to know where those earthquakes are going to occur so that the engineering community and the emergency planners and, the people who deal with the built environment can actually manage for these earthquakes and build for them.
Along with the joy of solving an ancient puzzle, because that's probably part of the fun for you, right?
Yeah.
So going back to the fault that you uncovered recently, just because it triggered a very large earthquake felt across a large geographic region, do we then imply that whatever comes next out of that fault is also big and widely felt?
Well, there's a couple of different models you can use to view how faults work, and one of them is called a characteristic model. And that model says that the fault is going to break essentially the same way every time. And so its recurrence intervals are just about the same between earthquakes, and the size of the earthquakes are about the same every time it breaks. And there's another model, the Gutenberg-Richter model, and that model says that, you know, the earthquake sizes may vary in size through time, and that means also the recurrence intervals are going to vary through time. And so it just kind of depends on the fault you look at. Some faults appear to break characteristically, others don't.
Yeah.
And so we don't, to answer your question about this fault over there, we don't know yet. That's kind of the phase of the work we're into right now.
But in terms of public safety in a region that is prone to earthquakes with a lot of faults, even though you don't know how something might break, and clearly you guys don't know when these things are going to happen, the idea for things like public infrastructure, dams, highways, big buildings, is to prepare that structure for the eventuality of some sort of earthquake.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the bottom line over in Entiat with this new fault, is that that fault is now in the near field of several dams along the Columbia. And so one of the problems with the 1872 earthquake is they didn't know where it was. And so it introduced a lot of uncertainty into the design of the dams, the hazard analysis. And if this turns out to be the source of the 1872, you just really reduce that uncertainty down, and then that can be factored into new designs and retrofits and things like that. Regardless of what happens, whether this turns out to be 1872 or not, there is an active fault at Entiat. It looks like it produced two earthquakes in the recent past. So we got evidence for at least two earthquakes and maybe four. And so it is an active source, and they will have to account for it in their hazards analysis and their designs.
Brian Sherrod is a researcher with the U.S. Geological Survey. You're tuned to The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.